So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 16, is Jaya and Vijaya. They are cursed by the sages. Text number 14. Satim bayadaya shinvanto lagmim guru arataka param Vighaya gata gambiram nabidusyat chikirshitam Satim, excellent. Vyajaya, with attentive oral reception. Shinvanta, hearing. Lagavim, properly composed. Guru, momentous. Arata, import. Ghabaram, difficult to understand. Vighaya, pondering. Agadha, deep. Gambiram, grave. Na, not. Vidu, understand. Tat, of the Supreme Lord. Chikirshitam, the intention. Translation in purple by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Paraparamahansa. Parivrajakacharya, Astotarasata Sri Shimanabhai Charanarvinda, Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it well. But although hearing, they could not understand what He intended to do. Please repeat. The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well. But although hearing, they could not understand what He intended to do. Purport. It should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and His speeches, for He stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord. But although His speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what He was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Supreme Lord wanted to do. Nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. Om Agyan Smirandasya Tinanjanan Shalakaya Takshur Minitangina Tasmaya Shri Gurvina Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Pindan Hare Krishna 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 Hari 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 Rama Hari Rama 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 Hari Hari. Before Kumaras, they couldn't understand, they couldn't comprehend, they couldn't figure out the purport of the Lord's speech or anything. And now we're supposed to give a class on it. Even the Kumaras, they can't comprehend. So how we can speak on this? Anyway, it's pointing out the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. God is not different than His name, His form, His qualities, His pastimes, etc. It's all absolute. So He's speaking, He's also absolute. His words are absolute. Just like we understand the Holy Name is absolute. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also teaches, Nam Nam Akori Bahudha Nivasarva Shaktis. In the Holy Name, this one name, all of the energies of the Lord are contained in them. All of the powers and potencies that are within our experience and without our experience are contained within the Holy Name. Because the Holy Name is none different than Him, because He is absolute. Aham Savasya Prabhu, Krishna says, everything comes from me. So that's everybody like has that understanding of God. He must be some that person whom everything emanates from. So His name also, it's the same. Everything emanates from His holy name. Aham Savasya Prabhu. And He is none different than His name. So everything is also emanating from His holy name. Just one name, that is. And He has hundreds of millions of names. So how we can comprehend the Supreme Lord? Here is the personification of the holy name. In person, Lord Vishnu has appeared in person before the Kumaras. And He's speaking sentence after sentence after sentence. Even one of those words is incomprehensible. And He's just speaking sentence after sentence to the Kumaras. Out of His causeless mercy. He didn't have to come there. But He made an endeavor to leave His palace and come to the gate. The gates of Vaikuntha. He didn't have to do that. So we can understand that it was His causeless mercy that He appeared there. So the idea is nobody can comprehend God. He is beyond comprehension. But if He likes, He can make Himself comprehended. That is His prerogative. So here He's made Himself seen by the Kumaris. They can see Him, they can hear Him, they can smell the Tosi. All of this is that the smell is absolute. Just the fragrance from His lotus feet was absolute. They smelled that. It was so absolute they became advanced devotees. Before that they were just candies. So that is the potency of the smell. Everything was contained in there. There was bhakti in there. They became bhaktas. Just from the smell of the Krishna's lotus feet. So what to speak of His actual toes, what to speak of His whole feet, what to speak of His legs and His body and His arms and His head. And so everything about Krishna is that whatever He does is absolute. Because He is absolute. So here the incomprehensible has become comprehensible by His mercy. This is the purport. That nobody can understand the Supreme Lord by His own endeavor. But when He's satisfied, when there's a little bit of bhakti there, then He may reveal Himself or an aspect of Himself. Otherwise, it's not possible to understand the Lord. The living entities are finite, and God is infinite. We are limited. God is unlimited. How the limited can understand the unlimited? It's not possible. But the unlimited can make Himself known to the limited. The infinite can make Himself known to the finite. That is His prerogative. We can't understand Him, but if He desires, He can show, make reveal Himself to us. So this is the position of God. And he says he does. How? Bhakti mama bhijananti. Yes. If there is some bhakti there, then I can show myself. According to your degree of bhakti, I will reveal. So even like these Kumaras, they were Shanta bhaktas. We say Shanta bhakti, practically there's no bhakti in Shanta, because there's no relationship. Bhakti comes when there's relationship. In Shanta there's just appreciation of greatness, but there's no real reciprocation or relationship. They're not really bhaktas. But still, to get to this position, they self-realize, Brahma-bhutas, Brahma-vadis, they realized the self, they were relishing and enjoying the self. There has to be a bit of bhakti to get to that position even. And generally, those who follow the path of jnana, who want to stand the impersonal aspect of God, his Brahman aspect, the all-pervading aspect, they do whatever they do, their austerities, their penances, their vows, their studying, etc. Whatever is their sadhana, to achieve that. And they come to a point, they do everything so paka. And they realize that by my austerities, penances, study, I'm not going to understand the Supreme Lord. He is beyond. By my own endeavor and by my own intelligence and prowess, it's not possible for me to understand. So they actually pray to God that I've done as much as I could in my path of sadhana, and I realize I can't understand. I'm now completely dependent on you. You want to reveal yourself or not to me as Brahman, that is up to you. But I my understanding is I cannot reach you. I tried. And this is the conclusion after many thousands of lifetimes also. So there's a little bit of bhakti there. They depend on Krishna. They actually surrender to Krishna. Atma Nivedanam. I'm dependent on you now, Lord, because you can reveal or not. I'm interested in understanding your feature as Brahman. You can reveal or not. So they actually, it's one of the angas of bhakti, Atma Nivedanam, they surrender to the Lord at that point. Their understanding is impersonal, but still they're surrendering to the impersonal aspect. Vedantita tatvitas tatyamavayam brahmaniti paramatni bhagavaniti satyati. All these three are God. Though we're approaching as Brahman, Paramatma or Bhagavan. So Krishna, he can reveal himself as such, but when there is some bhakti there, and of course they have to deserve it also, they have to be qualified. So we see that these vijnanis, and they do so many austerities and study, they really... then they accept, oh, I'm completely dependent on you, Lord. It's not simply your desire you can reveal to me or not. So because there's a little bit of bhakti there, then Krishna says, okay, they worked hard for it. You know, they worked a few thousand lifetimes to get it. So, I mean, they did do a lot, so... Okay, I'll give them my realization of my impersonal feature, Brahman realization. But only because there was a bit of bhakti there. Otherwise, he is not known. So here, everything is... so concise about the Lord. And similarly, his holy name. As Krishna is like, he's on his absolute platform, so also his devotees can also become on that absolute platform. Bhagavad Gita, I can't remember where it is. Krishna says where the consumer is Brahman. He's offering something in sacrifice. So that is Brahman. The consumption is Brahman. The sacrificial object is Brahman. And the sacrificer also become Brahman. Remember that sloka? It all becomes Brahman. But it all becomes absolute. In other words, you take on the qualities of Brahman. You're approaching Brahman, you have to have the qualities of Brahman. So everything becomes Brahman. You're using yourself, your senses, some objects of sacrifice into the fire, in the sacrifice of the Supreme Brahman. So it says, to know Brahman, you have to become Brahman. To enter the sun, you have to become sun or sunshine. So everything becomes absolute when you use it for serving the Lord. If you're completely fixed, mind and senses and words and body and everything is completely fixed in the service of the Lord, you become absolute, because the service is absolute and Krishna is absolute, you're offering it to. So everything becomes one on the absolute platform. So in the spiritual world, everything is absolute. So here, of course, the material world is full of distractions. You can't even hardly keep your focus for a few moments without material energy taking your attention away from what is not Brahman. Otherwise, all that is existing is Brahman here, and superimposed on that is this material energy. We get so absorbed in the superimposition that we forget we don't see the reality. But if you become absorbed in Brahman or devotion, so then you don't see the imposition. You don't see the material world as a material, you see everything as spiritual. So anyway, the devotees, pure devotees, they also have this, they're also on the absolute platform, so they also become, everything they do and say is very profound and meaningful. That's why it's very difficult to understand. Even the words of the spiritual master, they also carry that weight, that import, that absolute nature. That is why it's said that the disciple should get the order of his spiritual master. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakka Chiteti Koriyayaka. Those words coming from the spiritual, they're absolute. The disciple should become one with those words, with that instruction. The disciple should make the words of the Guru his life and soul. So now you're dealing on the words, the instruction from the Guru, are non different than the Guru, because he's absolute. So if you accept those instructions, you completely absorb yourself in executing those instructions, then you also become absolute. There's one purport in the... It's the projectors offering prayers to Lord Shiva. And they accept Lord Shiva as their Guru. Prabhupada gives a very nice purport there on relationship, disciple-guru relationship. And he's speaking like that. One should accept the orders of the spiritualism, his life and soul. Yasha prasada bhagavat prasado, yasha prasada ananikipu. Without accepting the instructions of the spiritual master, there is no chance. So in that purport, Prabhupada says many things. Then he says, after describing that, the whole mood of accepting the orders of the spiritual master as your life and so on, the disciple should not only accept those words, he should find out the ways and means to execute those instructions above everything else. That's his duty. If he gets instruction from the spiritual master, the ways and means how to execute that duty beyond anything else, that means that's his first priority. And then Prabhupada says, not only should he do that, he should find the ways and means, but he should also worship that instruction. So even the instruction from the spiritual master becomes worshipable, because that is actually your saving grace. It's the instructions of the guru that become our savior when we execute those instructions. So those instructions become as worshipable as the guru, because those instructions would give you Krishna. So they're also as worshipable as Krishna. So that is absolutely necessary in this conditioned state. And we are trying to approach Krishna through the guru, but when we understand the momentous import and everything that's described here about the position of the spiritual master also, how difficult it is to comprehend his words and execute them. It's not difficult, actually, it's quite easy. But to understand the real depth of it, that is difficult. Because we're serving, whole day long we're serving. But we may not be contacting or understanding even one moment of that service, the spiritual world. So everything has a very, very deep import. The holy name has a very deep import. So the acharyas have to explain it. This Prabhupada gives an explanation of Hare Krishna. Oh, energy of the Lord, Hari, please engage me in the service of the Lord, Krishna and Ram. There are many, many explanations of the holy name. The Prabhupada gave that explanation. So profound, eh? O energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service of the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas, they've given many, many explanations of Hare Krishna, many rasika explanations in conjugal relationship, also in relationship of friendship, how you can chant Hare Krishna. All the different rasas you can chant Hare Krishna. And there's persons who chant Hare Krishna to understand the Paramatma, there's persons who chant Hare Krishna to understand Brahman. They're chanting the Lord's names also. And so he has unlimited names, so it's unlimited meanings to the name. But the way Prabhupada presented, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service. It's the most perfect explanation, because all of the other explanations, the millions of explanations that of the holy name, they all fit under that category. However your approach or however they translated the names or whichever appeals to them, it all comes under that category. Please, they're approaching, please engage me in your service. They want to serve Krishna as a lover, as a friend, as a mother, or even in Shantaras. So again, Hare Krishna, it encompasses all those different descriptions of the holy name. This is Prabhupada's simple definition. But it encompassed everything so deep and momentous, Prabhupada's words. And Prabhupada said, these words in my book, he said, they're so powerful. He said, one sentence is enough to understand Krishna. Then he said, one word. Because it's all absolute. He said, one word is sufficient. This is Prabhupada's kindness. Just as Krishna. No one can understand Krishna unless he reveals himself, simply the pure devotee. Unless he reveals himself, no one can understand. So Prabhupada's revealing, he's revealing Krishna. All these books, he's come to reveal Krishna. Otherwise we don't know. It's a fact. Any red book you read before Prabhupada, you were going the wrong way. Usually. you go confused. It didn't tell you Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. No other book told you you are the eternal servant of Krishna. You should be engaging in his service. No one said that. You may be speaking about God, so many books, God realization, but no one says Krishna is God and you're his servant's servant. No one says that. Prabhupada says it. And immediately, millions and millions of people flock to his, take shelter of his lotus feet. Despite all the rigid rules and regulations he put within it. They accepted it. And so this is the great contribution of Srila Prabhupada. Krishna can only be revealed when he desires by his mercy. So his mercy is Guru. The Guru is the mercy of Krishna. So by his mercy, the Guru is revealing Krishna through these writings. And because these words are so momentous and the purport is deep, Prabhupada also took it so deeply like that when he was translating these books. Because he knew the purport. He has purport. Every verse he has put purport. The sages couldn't understand the purport of what Lord Narayan was saying to them. Also, we can't understand Prabhupada's purport sometimes, but he's making it very easy for us, as easy as possible, to try and understand. So that is his mercy. He's the mercy aspect of God, who is revealing God through this literature. Prabhupada took it so seriously. It was his life's mission. And he exemplified this aspect of Yasha Prasada Bhagavat Prasada Yasha Prasada. He took his instructions as his spiritual master, as his life and soul. His guru, spiritual master, ordered him to preach in the Western countries, to write books, to distribute books. So here is an acharya. Acharya means one who sets example. So we see from Prabhupada's own life story, he adopted this process. He accepted the orders of his spiritual master as his life and soul. Many times he stated that. If I have any success, it's simply I try to follow the orders of my spiritual master. So here, he's, as an acharya, setting an example for us to follow. He accepted the order of his spiritual master's life and soul. He went out, he did it. One should find the ways and means.